on this 30th day of January. Let's check the marketplace with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we're looking for rougher weather as we make it into the weekend. Always interested to see how things are down south. What kind of temps do you have for the day?
Well, we've had a mess earlier this week with the ice and the cold weather, but things are thawing out a little bit and beginning to warm up a little bit. But we're about like everybody else in the country, still below normal on the temperature front anyway.
Well, that makes our 35 degrees outside feel pretty good today, I would guess.
Yeah, it does. It does feel. But it's interesting living in the South. And, of course, you can see on the TV what kind of mess they got themselves on the interstates there in Birmingham and Atlanta. Is, you know, nobody has any salt, nobody has any sand, so snow equipment is non-existent. So when you get an ice storm like this, I got a kick out of it. The natives were, if you didn't know better, you thought a hurricane was coming because they all headed to the grocery store. And you couldn't even buy a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk the other night because everybody was gearing up for maybe losing power for a couple days.
And then she turns into a skating rink down there.
Right.
And that turns ugly. The family and I made a trip down that way, through Birmingham, in fact, a few years ago, they had the same sort of situation, and it was not pretty. It was scary, actually, being on the road, so be safe.
Yeah.
Be safe down there. Okay, so speaking of scary, producers are wondering at this point what they're going to need to do for both new and old crop, or corn, soybeans, and even wheat, trying to think through the process for 2014. Have you given it, and I know you have, much thought, looking further out and what your cycles have to tell you about this marketplace?
Well, the corn-soybean ratio, you know, everybody's been talking about a big switch to soybean acres, and naturally, I mean, that is where the momentum is. I mean, there is going to be some switching, but you can see Informa Economics backed off of that a couple million acres on their most recent report. I think if you're going to get a real large jump in soybean acres and a 4 million acre or 5 million acre drop in corn, you're going to have to get that corn soybean ratio up closer to 3 to 1 rather than this 2.5 to 1, and that's where it's been. But there's no doubt in the fringe areas where I have been this winter anyway, you do know. More soybean acres are coming. It's just a question of, you know, how much and whatnot. And that's going to, I think, limit soybean upside potential. We do have a big crop coming out of South America. The exporters tell me that about 250,000 to 400,000 tons of new crop soybeans have already left the country in South America. And February, they're probably going to maybe crank that number all the way up to 2.5 million tons, which is, from a historical point of view, very, very early, simply because in years past, you really didn't get much competition out of South America until you got into late March. April was a big month. May is a big month. So Brazil is gradually, for all practical purposes, is a year-round supplier of soybeans to the world. They still have a lot of infrastructure to do to become a much smoother supplier to the world without all of the interruptions and that. But Brazil is going to be a big problem for us as we go down the road in soybeans. So, but our export sales came out okay, 500,000 tons here today. Now, 500,000 of unknown destinations were actually switched to known destinations. Some people call that maybe a cancellation. Whatever the case may be, it was just basically unknown destinations switched to a known destination, and that's why our exports were only 500,000. Corn, man, 1.8 million tons of corn sales. I'm not sure if that's the biggest of the marketing year. It's definitely, if it's not, it's right up against that. That was, you know, 74, 75 million bushels of corn in one crack. That is excellent. Now when you take that number and you add to the sales pace that we've had since September 1st, we're up to about like 87% complete of USDA's number. If that pace would continue, we're talking about maybe bringing exports up to 1.6 billion bushels. Now that would be 150 million more than what USDA has on the balance sheet, but if that would be realized, that's going to come out of carryout. So carryout's coming down. You know, it wasn't too long ago everybody was wanting to talk about 2 billion plus. After the January report, it came down to 1.6, and then if we whack another 150 out of that on exports, all of a sudden we're talking about 1.3 or something on the corn, which is a big, big turnaround. Now, I know the bear's going to argue we got problems in the feed and residual number, but that's something that we'll have to work out and see how that plays out over time. I'm in the opinion that USDA has a production number too large, and that maybe explains some of it. And I think a lot of it ended up in last year's marketing year because demand for ethanol was so strong. So I think some of those bushels that was produced in this 13-14 crop year went backwards into the 12-13 crop. I think the fundamentals are not too bad. Beans you have to worry about because those South American beans are going to come at us at some point in time. But I think the corn market is laying the groundwork to be much more price positive as we go down the road than probably what everybody was thinking a month ago. We're going to end up the month with a monthly reversal to the upside. And I think today's price action really gives us a good shot to punch out the crop report high as we go toward the end of the month. And that would be a close right up against the high point of the month. So I'm kind of thinking March corn futures has a shot at 450. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if December corn takes a run at 460. So I'm a little optimistic, at least on the corn front here this morning, after I saw the export sales number and the way the market's performed.
So on demand side then, if for the soybeans, the United States and South America usually battle it out. For the export market, it's time and it's coming earlier than it has for the soybeans to turn their attention to South America. That's bearish the bean market. That's what you told me.
Right.
For corn, the U.S. has tended to be the only place, really the largest place by leaps and bounds, to export corn. I'm wondering whether there is enough wheat at some point that would come into the marketplace, because a lot of the world will use feed wheat rather than corn to damper what you've just told us about the marketplace.
Well, there's no doubt about it that the wheat market, I mean, we made new lows for the year. Wheat is in a counter-seasonal decline. Wheat should be making highs at this point of view when you look at a normal average seasonal pattern. Maybe that's going to reverse. Maybe we're going to make a low when we normally make a high. That still has a lot of weather to put in it, we'll have to see how the late winter spring weather pattern plays out. But if it has a tendency to stay cold like this winter has, we could get ourselves in some actually good kill conditions on that wheat crop. So that wheat crop has a tendency, that's very, very vulnerable, I think, to maybe not making the big number. But there is no doubt about it. We've got a lot of wheat around the world. But it's not all in the bin yet either. So we'll have to see how that plays.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us on this Thursday afternoon.